Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, May 23rd, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. The very talented Blade Bannon, erotic photographer, author, and prominent kinkster, is back with us again this week. This is part two of our conversation about his life and work. But wait, you didn't miss part one of his appearance on this show, which appeared here last week at this time, did you? Well, don't worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you have to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 278, and voila! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Blade also treats us to another tantalizing slideshow of some of his erotic photography, so don't miss that, sex fans. It accompanies today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Blade also invites you to visit him on his site, bladetbannon.com, and be sure to pick up a copy of his book over at mymentormyguide.com. Today's podcast sponsor is adamandeve.com. Did you know that adamandeve.com superstore is the largest provider of adult products for both women and men in the entire U.S. of A.? Well, it is. And because they're so freaking huge, you can expect the best selection, quality, price, and service available on the net. Listen up, you guys. Good sex toys are not cheap. That's why I'm directing you to shop at adamandeve.com, because being part of my audience has its perks, don't you know? When you shop at adamandeve.com, you will receive a discount of up to 50% off your first item. That's a huge savings. You'll also receive 3 adult DVDs. Count them, 3! Plus a bonus gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. Well, you can't beat that offer with a stick. So, here's the deal. To get this big discount and all these free gifts, you'll need to enter a special code when you're ready to check out. So, write this down. The code you will need is the word Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R. Simply type in that code when prompted in the checkout window. It's just that easy. Or, if you click on one of the banners on my site, in today's posting or in the sidebar of my site, the 50% off will be calculated automatically. Pretty sweet, huh? However, if you visit adamandeve.com on your own, you'll need that code. Again, the word is Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R, just like my last name, don't you know? Okay, on with the show. Blade, welcome back to DrDickSexAdvice.com. I'm so glad that you could join us for another week of conversation, because I was just getting to the really juicy parts, don't you know?
Dr. Dick, talk to me dirty.
So we were discussing your book last week, and one of the things that I want to talk about, and that you seem to focus on as well, is about your life in BDSM as a spiritual journey. For most people not in the lifestyle, that would be a difficult connection to make. So could you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
Oh, yeah. That was a tough chapter to write, actually. Uh-huh. Because in my personal journey, basically you always say, okay, there's two topics people really don't take akin to at a dinner conversation. One is spirituality, religion,
yeah,
and politics.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to be hitting a couple of hot buttons on this one, so I got to tread lightly. So I had to clarify in the beginning that I was not talking religion, I was talking spirituality. And that in my personal journey, working, as it were, in an airline industry, I was able to travel all around the world. So my first step was to go ahead and do a sampling of what everybody else was believing in. And seeing, okay, well, this is a buffet. Let's go and see what everybody has to offer and get a more worldly view on this. And the other was more of a clinical psychology type of approach, where I went back to college and studied psychology, and I read a ton of books and to sort things out. And I found that a lot of them, it was like spokes of a wheel. They all had the same core values, but they just had different ways of reaching this same central type of thing. And it's like if they would just not focus on the separateness, but the actual base of the wheel, then you're getting the same goals, you know, the same desires. But in getting to the spirituality part of this, I had approached it from the angle that when you have a sexual encounter with somebody, it's an exchange of sexual energy.
Right.
That's Arizona Power Exchange. It's an exchange of power, as in someone relinquishing and somebody taking, but it's also an exchange of energy between two people, like electricity. You know, you could touch somebody and all the hairs on their body stand up as if they had, you know, well, they actually do use electricity. I have too now that I think about it. But that's another topic. We'll move on from that. But where I'm going with this is that you, once you realize you've got a connection with somebody, then you can plumb, as you would put it, more deeply into this bonding experience. And if it's superficial, you may find that you have a lot of experiences sexually that either feel robotic, or afterwards you feel hollow and empty, and it wasn't what you were expecting, and it leaves you unfulfilled rather than fulfilled. And that leads you to be in a more needy state, craving more, because you've, if you're lucky, you've experienced it once before, so you know what it feels like, but you haven't put your finger on how to get it, how to find it, and how to reestablish it, or get that same kind of connection again, for lack of better words.
Interesting that you sound so much like you did last week when you were talking about the mission of your photography, and that is to kind of capture the soul of someone, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, the thing that's uniquely them,
that
their element, their essence, for lack of better words. And I guess that sounds a little bit on the mystical side, but that's not where I was going. I think everybody has a unique personality. That everyone is unique. There is only one you. And therefore you're valuable. And in this day and age, a lot of people are, through media and everything else, missing that point, because they're told what perfect is and where everything can be and how it would be if you had this or that. And, you know, people are pretty perfect just the way they are.
So again, I want to move on to something else that you write about in your book, My Mentor, My Guide. You talk about your leather family.
Yes.
Several other guests on the show have also mentioned their family. How does one become a part of a leather family, and what are the benefits of belonging?
Oh, wow, that's such a beautiful question. A leather family is an interesting thing. It springs back from when people were not accepted for being homosexual. Their maternal family would divorce them. And so they would adopt a gay family. And if they were into kink, fetish, the BDSM lifestyle, then they had these wonderful bonding experiences with these individuals, and they adopted each other as their leather family.
Oh, cool.
And they watched out for each other when they got sick and if they needed help and so on. I can't count how many times I've taken some of my boys to the hospital or helped them move or something of that nature. And it's going out of your way for another, just like a family member would.
So it's a generational kind of thing too, yes?
Yes, it is. And, you know, there's also the... It doesn't have to be sexual, but due to the nature of gay men, it usually is. And in BDSM, you know, kink fetish lifestyle, you know it's going to go down that road. And that just is sort of one of those icing on the cake things.
Right.
You have the bricks, and then you have the cement that sticks them together. The sex is definitely the cement. You know, the bricks are the building blocks of trust that you develop over time.
So not only do you write about mentoring within the BDSM leather community, you also offer yourself as a mentor to others. And the whole idea of mentoring in this context of alternative lifestyles is coming under a great deal of scrutiny lately. So let's talk about your approach and why you even put yourself out there.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I guess it's because I care.
Yeah.
I had a good friend of mine. He wouldn't mind me using his name. Grayland Thornton, he was an international Mr. Drummer back in 93. We competed together, and he actually won. And we became best friends during the competition. And after that was over, about a year later, I had gotten involved in a relationship and dropped out of the leather community. Because my partner at the time and I decided I would be monogamous for the relationship, and I was training boys, and I set them all free, so to speak, and made sure they were good leather families, and went into retirement, for lack of better words. And about 7 years into the relationship, we opened it up per his request, which I was always ready to, but I'd done everything by then, you know. So it was like, I can go monogamous, no problem. I've already, you know, sown my wild oats. But yet he had not. So obviously relationships are always changing. So we opened it up, and I ran into Graylin at a leather event when I was out. And he goes, "Why aren't you training boys?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "All the knowledge and everything that you've gained through all the leather men that you've known and family ends with you. If you don't continue to train, all those traditions, everything they've poured into you dies. It stops with you. So if you've got an open relationship, why don't you start training again?"
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, "Oh, wow, you nailed me right on that." And I kind of poo-pooed him away on that and said, "Oh, I don't know." And then the more I thought about it, I realized he was right. And so then I started actively mentoring again. And I was very, very glad that I did, because I was able to provide individuals, these young men, with it's sort of like a link in a chain, and I'm going to do this a little bit differently, but each precious memory that you have about a BDSM experience that you went very well is a new link in the chain.
Uh-huh.
And we wove a beautiful string of memories together, and I've had so often what's called broken toys, where their first experiences with somebody that would not honor boundaries for a first timer, and they would get damaged, hospitalized.
Yes.
Because they couldn't find or know, or didn't know how to spot red flags with people that were predators.
Yeah.
And therefore they never went back to exploring that aspect of their sexuality because they were injured. And so I was determined to create as many positive experiences so that they would really fully explore this area of their sexuality as much as possible, and not only with me. If I had something that they liked that really wasn't my forte, or I wasn't practiced or skilled up on enough, I would either practice on this particular thing before taking them there, or pass them off to a very trusted individual that was very skilled in that, so that they could give them the experience, so they wouldn't be robbed of it.
How cool.
Yeah.
So, do you mentor both as a dom and a sub?
I've always mentored in the beginning as a dom. And it's funny, because I started off as a leather boy, a drummer boy. And I only lasted about one title season. And then they immediately wanted me to run for a sir title. And I was only 28.
Wow.
And I went, "No, Mr. Drummer title is for guys in their 30s and 40s. I'm way too young for this." And they're like, "Blade, you're a pushy bottom. You say, you can fuck me, but just put my way." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're kind of right about that. They said, you've always been a dom. It's just that you let people fuck you." And I said, "Oh, you nailed me on that one." So I reluctantly jumped in, and it felt a little awkward at first, giving instruction
right.
to people that were bigger than me, older than me, that could easily overpower me.
Yeah.
But I had taken martial arts as a precautionary measure when I went as a boy, because I didn't want things to go south and end up being in the hospital.
Right.
So there was a certain level of comfort in knowing that if I had someone bigger, I could hold my own to a certain degree. But aside from that, I had a lot of guys, as time went on, saying, I need a trainer, I need a mentor that can train me as a top and a dom.
Interesting.
And no one will do it. And I said, why? They said, well, I'm only 25 and I'm only 5'5" and no one takes me seriously as a top.
Right.
I'm like, that's pretty amazing. People have these preset conceptions of individuals and they don't know what's inside of them. And I said, I'd love to train you as a top, no problem. They're like, well, you're a dom. I said, yes, I can back lead as well. And I'll tell you, you need to get more aggressive and get in your face and so on and so forth. And that usually worked out really well. It was a little hard for me at first because they, me being the mentor, they still wanted
right.
to submit a little bit.
Right.
But their nature was that by submitting, that was admitting that they're not being the dom they want to be. So it was a little bit of wrestling back and forth, and then they turned out to be great doms.
Well, you know, yes. I have a thought that it really takes a good sub to make a good dom. You know, you really have to understand the subspace in order to be a dom, a good dom, if you ask
That's
me.
That's a really interesting point, because that has gotten a lot of crossfire.
Uh-huh.
Because there's people that are strictly doms, never been a sub, and they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Very experienced players that are, oh, total status. I mean, unbelievable. And they've never been a sub and never been a bottom or any kind of submissive. So I can't really say that's 100%. My experiences, I've had both, so I have a bit of empathy for the submissive because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand. I know a really great dom that he doesn't have to be a submissive, but what he does is, if he's going to play, let's say, with electrical,
mm-hmm.
he'll get his TENS unit, you know, he'll nail himself really hard and max it out to all the different levels, so he knows for himself
exactly
what it feels like. He's not putting himself in a submissive headspace or position at all,
yeah.
but he's getting to know his equipment in a dom headspace.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, is that
yeah.
I'm not suggesting that you have to be a sub in order to be a good dom. What I'm suggesting is that you have to understand the sub dynamic to be a good dom.
Yeah.
In the same way that you have to understand the dom mentality in order to be a really good sub.
Mm-hmm. I think they're both very valuable
yes.
points. And yeah, I have to admit, there's a lot to be said if you lived it in that headspace or at least participated. It does make understanding it a bit better because you have a point of reference.
Right.
But that's just my personal experience. I don't want to project that onto anybody else because everybody's path is different
right.
and therefore valuable. And as long as you're really enjoying yourself, and you know, even the word consensual is getting a bit outdated these days. I was just talking to someone on the street, and they just updated their website, and I can't remember the term that they just changed it to, but you know, even our verbiage in our culture is constantly in a state of flux.
So
it's very interesting.
Many of the power players that I've spoken to in this series, as well as people that I know as friends, often speak in terms of BDSM as being both recreational and cathartic. Do you agree? And if you do, could you elaborate?
Yes, I agree 100% on both counts. I've had, as a recreational, when I was with the Universal Brotherhood of the Leather Lords, I had held many offices in that particular brotherhood, and that was a leather family,
uh-huh.
and still is today. We would go on campouts and we would participate in BDSM activities as just a natural part of the campout. And it was recreational and fun and built wonderful memories, just fantastic. But also, in the exact same venue, I had a particular submissive that really needed to be single-tailed. So we strapped him up between two trees. I have a beautiful Patterson snake whip, and I was single-tailing him per his request because he had a really hard week at work. It was very, very intense, and he needed a release.
Exactly. Good, good, good.
So I went ahead, and I single-tailed him to the point where he actually collapsed in the ropes on the tree.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my God, I took him too far, because sometimes when the endorphins are going so high, they forget their safe word.
Yes.
And it's a very big responsibility of the Dom to do little quality checks to make sure the person's still there.
Right.
So I went over and I stopped. And he was okay. And he actually said, you could have gone further. I just hit my breaking point. And I laughed. I was like, oh, man, I stopped too soon. But it served its purpose.
Uh-huh.
And then after we untied him, we were in an embrace. And that was an aftercare moment. And
uh-huh.
as much as it is about the intensity, it's about the aftercare. And there's deep bonds that complete that whole cycle built into the aftercare moments. Because as you said, you know, it's cathartic.
Yes.
And after that intense physical experience, you have this rejuvenating, wonderful, empowering feeling that of this release afterwards, letting go. And in that moment, some of the deepest bonding is experienced.
Right, 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 right. I want to talk a little bit about role-playing as part of the lifestyle. You often talk about daddy-boy role-playing. Can you elaborate on that, because there's a lot of people in our audience who are unfamiliar with the whole concept, and they may be thinking in terms of like a generational, like blood family, and that's not what we're talking about.
No, not at all. I'm glad you clarified that. No, it's a term used, and I want to clarify another point too. There's called daddies and boys and slaves and masters.
Right, good, good, good.
Okay. Now, a slave and a master is a more intense relationship, even though some of the rules overlap. And that one involves usually, almost always, a contract.
Uh-huh.
And the slave doesn't really have a say in anything. It's what the master says goes, and that's it. And the contract can be for a year, an extended period of time, and they usually live in the master's house, and he calls the shots on what their duties are and so on and so forth, and they're in collar 24/7 in a lot of cases. And a daddy-boy relationship, the boy has more of a voice about things. It may not be taken into consideration, but at least he has a voice.
I love it.
Either one of the boys or slaves will always find a way to get in trouble so they can get punished, even if it's on accident, which makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah. How cool. Good. Good.
But as you mentioned, it's not a blood family thing. This is young men that have decided that this is for them. This is a lifestyle that really fulfills many of their needs emotionally and sexually. So they bond with another male that plays the other role, and it fits for them. And they actually, when they're out and about, say, this is my daddy, this is my boy.
Right.
Or they use many, there's a myriad of different terms, like there's sir, and so forth.
Yes.
So, you know, you always kind of look at the dynamic of each one as unique and different, because everybody makes up their rules these days. They take what they want from the past generation and form it to fit their particular one that they're in.
Right. So say I was a rank amateur and I didn't have a clue about the correct vocabulary or subculture etiquette, but I did know that I had this sub-streak and that I wanted to investigate it. Would you be someone I could turn to?
Oh, God, yeah. As a matter of fact, I still get people on the internet that contact me that have seen my book or they see one of my photographs with a watermark. They go to the site and they find out I'm a mentor. And then they, you know, I have a boy in L.A. that just currently contacted me. And I said, okay, this is what I can offer you. I am in a different city. Okay? So you're looking at a mentor that is a pen pal, and you might get into the city here and there or whatever have you, and then we can do a scene and so forth. I am not going to try to tell you that I can give you any more than that.
Right.
And he's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But I'm there to answer questions,
right.
Important questions to him, in order for him to navigate more comfortably and be able to experience things without worrying or getting hurt.
Cool.
So I'm like, good.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
So, with that, I must conclude our conversation, even though I could go on and on. You're so charming and so delightful and so full of wonderful information that you so generously share. Thank you for that. So before we go this week, would you do as you did last week and give us your website address and walk us around a bit?
Sure, sure. Okay, my website once again is Blade T. Bannon, that's B-A-N-N-O-N .com. And of course, when you first go onto the site, it's got the classic, this is an adult site. Exit now, leave now if this is not what you're looking for. If you wish to enter, click here, you know. And then it gives you my homepage with the different areas in which you can go and explore. Going to the photography section, I have a list of galleries, and each has a thumbnail with an image of the particular model or models. And some are defined by different exhibitions that I've had. I've got a couple more to add to it. Most recently, I just put two in, but I have yet a spot dead center that I'm about to fill.
Oh, cool.
And if you click on one, it will go through a slight slideshow for you. And it switches images every few seconds. And you can click on home, like the first one, Eric. This is a really hot number. Once again, very endowed. Aren't they all? But there's kind of a flavor for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to explore. There are some, like Jean-Marc is clean shaven and muscle body, no hair on him. So I'm getting more of a variety of the different types of men, because I don't believe you should all shop in one place.
Right, exactly. Good.
You know, everybody has a type, and there's someone out there for everyone. And so I enjoy exploring all that and bringing it forward. My Flickr account, however, has a more raunchy selection of photos, because on this website, I'm restricted into the nature of how deeply I can get pornographic-ish type thing. It can be erotic, but not pornographic. So with Flickr, you can do just about anything. So that particular selection is much more graphic. For those interested.
Well, I know I am.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you again for your generosity with your time. It's been such a joy meeting you. I know our audience feels the same. So in the meantime, between now and when we speak again, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Terrific. I'm looking forward to it.
Great, great, great. Thanks, kiddo. Be well.
You be well, too. Thanks again for your time. I enjoyed it.
Bye.
Bye now.
What a marvelous show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is AdamandEve.com. Listen up, you guys. AdamandEve.com provides you a unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about the amazing array of adult products out there. And don't forget that being part of my audience has its perks. Get up to 50% off your first item, receive 3 free adult DVDs, plus a special bonus gift, and get everything shipped to you absolutely free of charge. To get this bang-up deal, you'll need a special code when you check out, so write this down. All my listeners need to do is to type in the word Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R, at the checkout window to receive the big discounts and all of the other freebies. Or you can click one of the banners on my site, either in today's posting or in the sidebar of my site, and that 50% off will be calculated automatically. However, If you visit Adam and Eve on your own, you will need that code. And here it is again. Write it down. The word is Wagner. W-A-G-N-E-R. Just like my last name, don't you know? One final thing. I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.